Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back. We are on episode 61, and I am really excited to be doing this one solo today because, you know, I don't do a lot of solo ones, and I like to have conversations with people, and sometimes if it's just me, hey, I kind of talk a lot, but if you're okay with that, we have a wonderful episode today, and I'm going to be talking about my top things that I see, or I should rephrase that, my top mistakes I see at a USPA weigh-in. And I'm gonna say that it's USPA weigh-ins because really that's what I'm familiar with. However, this sort of mistakes probably crosses off of all federations. Some federations might be more strict, some might be less strict, but just know that a lot of what I'm gonna talk about today is something that you're gonna find with a lot of different federations. So keep these things in mind whether you're competing in USPA or not. And I want to tell you that this podcast is sponsored by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And I'm so happy to announce that we are offering online nutrition training as well as online strength training. So we've been doing powerlifting and strength training online for a while now. And just recently, you know, I think with everything going on with COVID, my husband and I really wanted to offer more online because some people are just not comfortable coming into the gym, and it's totally understandable. And so we've been really focusing and honing in a lot of what we do for nutrition and online. So if you are interested in nutrition or our powerlifting or strength online training, visit core256.com. We actually have a 10-day free trial period, as well as your first month free when you sign up. Okay, so we can talk all about that. If that's something you're interested in, visit core256.com and you can read more about it. And if you haven't already, go visit iTunes, go visit Facebook, go find something where you can leave me a review because I wanna hear what y'all think about the show and I wanna add more to the show and would love to hear your feedback, even if it's through Instagram. So if you're on Instagram or Facebook and you message me, and I've had a lot of people do recently and I'm so excited, I get really it's never like a moment where I'm like, I'm always like, oh my gosh, people are like listening to me. It's wonderful. You know, and they love what my guests have to say, and that to me is touching because a lot of these people, sometimes they don't tell their story and it's such a powerful story. And really this show is just to help mostly women, but men too, but men and women become a little bit more acquainted with powerlifting and find out what other powerlifters are doing to become stronger, both mentally and physically. So anyways, I would love to hear your feedback. Give us a 5-star rating. If you're on iTunes, take a minute today and I would love that. Now, let's get into the top mistakes I see done at a USPA weigh-in. Starting with number one, and that's not showing up with your gear at weigh-ins. So we have to think about, like, what is the purpose of weigh-ins? If this is your first time listening, then I'm gonna tell you how it is. And if this is maybe your second or third time, I'm gonna give you something to think about when you're coming to weigh-ins. Weigh-ins are for three things for the most part, okay? One is to check your weight. How much do you weigh so that we can put you in the right class, right? The right weight class, because that's what powerlifting is, a class sport, a weight class sport. Two is to check you in. So if you don't show up on weigh-ins, you ain't competing the next day. Unless your meet director, the person who is putting on the meet, is like, you know what, it's cool, we can put you in. More than likely, you don't check in that day before at weigh-ins, you ain't competing. So the second very important part of weigh-ins is actually checking in for your meet. And number three is to check your gear. Now, gear has a lot of different terms that we use in powerlifting, but when we're talking about weigh-ins, gear, it really is all the equipment that you're going to be using on the platform. And by equipment, I mean shirt, singlet, knee sleeves, shoes, wrist wraps, all the things that you use when you actually compete in powerlifting. And when you're actually, you know, just even training, maybe this is your first time, you haven't competed before. Everything that you're going to use on the platform, you have to show up with, because we need to check that it is on our approved list and it meets the specs. So that leads me into number two, which is not checking if your equipment is on the approved list. Now, I probably see this happen the most out of any time, is that people might know that there is an approved list, but they haven't checked the current approved list. And every year there's a new list and there is revamps to that every year. And if you show up to a meet, they're going to have the newest approved list. The list will also be online at uspa.net. So if you're going to compete, I would highly recommend that you check the website and look for the approved list that is going to be current there. And the nice thing is this year, 2021, they actually have it as a link. So when you go there, they're just going to keep rechanging that link as new companies are on the approved list. So if you just kind of bookmark it, go back to it, refresh it kind of thing, you'll be able to see the newest companies that are have their items that are on the approved list. So the things that are not needed to be on the list, so the things that don't need to be a certain brand or don't need to be any kind of certain company, are your shirt that you're going to be using under your singlet, your singlet itself, the socks that you have, whether they're the deadlift socks or if you choose to wear deadlift and regular socks, your shoes, and any headgear. So if you like to wear a headband, none of those things need to be on the approved list. However, they need to make specs. So what does that mean? When you go to uspa.net, you'll find that there's a rule book there. If you scroll through the table of contents there, we're going to talk about what items need to make specs. So for example, socks, deadlift socks. You have to have deadlift socks when you're deadlifting. Doesn't matter if you're going sumo, it doesn't barely touch your inside of your knee or inside of your shin. You need to have deadlift socks that come up to your knees. And if they come maybe an inch or two below, that's not going to be accepted. So you can't use crew socks or anything that's a little shorter. If they're too long above your knee, you can just bring them back down right underneath your knee and you'll be good to go. They don't have to be a certain material. They don't have to be synthetic. They don't have to be anything in particular. However, your shirt that you're going to be wearing underneath your bench and your deadlift, I'm sorry, your bench and your squat, that has to be 100% cotton or polyester, or a blend of those two. It cannot have spandex, it can't have anything else in there. So they will be checking that. There can be no compression to it, so you can't wear any compression shirts. Just find a regular old shirt that you got. You probably use the one that's gonna be at the meet. Nothing too fancy. I do enjoy, love seeing meet shirts where they have the little emblem up here, right? So we have like the whatever company you're repping or your crew that you're with, and you have like meet appropriate shirts. I love those. But just make sure that they're within the specs, and you can find all the specs for those items at uspa.net in the rule book. I won't go through all of it, and it's not very hefty. I mean, really, it just needs to be like your singlet can't be more than a single ply. I mean, it has to be, the term they don't use is single ply. They don't use that term. It needs to be something that is like a wrestling singlet. If we're going to talk about plainly, you can find amazing singlets out there. Girls Who Powerlift, Nightmare Muscle, Virus is a very popular one. Inzer, there's a lot of companies. Inzer's is probably your go-to standard. You can find that on Amazon for like $35. And that one I believe is 100% polyester. It's a little more forgiving. Sometimes these satin ones, you're like, oh girl, that can... I can see everything in my butt. So you just have to think of maybe, you know, aesthetics of it. If you're worried about that, for sure, there's more particulars. But if we're just talking about what's legal, what's not, they just need to be within those specs. So visit the rule book, check each of those. And if you have any questions and you're still not sure, because sometimes it can be confusing. You know, the rule book is filled with a lot of rules. And sometimes the specs are written in a way, or the verbiage is written in a way that we can maybe not be totally clear on certain things. So that's where you can speak to your meet director. So the person who is putting on the meet, you can go to your Facebook group. That is the USPA Facebook group for your state, or you can even visit the USPA powerlifting group, which is on Facebook. That one in particular, they have people who are going to answer questions for you at any time. So, and of course, you can always reach out to me. leading me into number three, and that is not getting your USPA membership card before the day you compete. Now, I wouldn't know this for any reason. Of course, I've never done this in my life. but you do not want to wait till you're standing in line ready to check in to realize, oh, your membership card is expired. Because what can happen is that when you purchase it right then, it will be sent to you, but the membership date sometimes doesn't show up. And that is what we're looking for when you're checking in. So just be wary. Buy your membership card the day before. You don't have to buy it months before, because you have to think about the day that you buy it is also the day that it expires a year from that date. So you kind of want to give yourself, you know, as much time as possible. So day before, buy your, you know, membership card the day before. You can use it on your phone. You can show it when you check in from your phone. All they're looking for is your name and the expiration date. So number four, not having your opening attempts when you come to weigh in. Now, one of the biggest things that you're going to see, and not every state that does this, but they might give you a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper is going to have pertinent information such as your name, your expiration date of your card, what category or what class you're in, and then it's also going to have what you plan to open with at the meet. So for those of you who've never competed before, what I'm saying is when you go in to compete your first day, as if there's 2 days, there possibly might be, but no, when you go in to compete, you're going to start off with squat, and they need to know a number that you are going to start off with. Remember, you have three attempts to, lift the most that you can. So whatever number you want to start off with, you need to let them know what that is. And you have to let them know at weigh-ins. Now, the second thing I see, this should be like 4A and 4B or whatever. Is that you don't give it in kilos. So a lot of times people compete in pounds, right? We're Americans. We train in pounds. Not everybody, but let's speak, you know, almost everybody else is going to train in pounds. And what I see happen a lot of times is they say, okay, I want to open with 200 pounds and then I want to go to 220 and I want to go to 240. That's not how it goes. You have to give it in kilos. So if you're going to open in 200 pounds, you need to look at the kilo conversion chart, and I will actually attach that to the show notes here because I have one, and find what kilo is closest to the opener you want to do. So you cannot take your pounds and try to convert it into kilos and give them that number, because that number is going to be some weird number, like, you know, 51.3. We only work in 2.5 increments, meaning that it needs to be 50 or 52.5 or 55 or 57.5 or 60. We work in 2.5 increments. And that comes with USAPL. And I want to say that almost every federation, if you're dealing with kilos. So make sure that you've converted and you've found which number is going to be your opening attempt as closely as possible to your kilos. And I would do all three. And I've talked about this before on getting ready for your first meet, but really you should have kind of an idea of the numbers. Especially if this is your first time, winging it right then can just throw you all over the place. I actually just saw somebody this weekend who was moving the weight super, super fast and decided to do a 60-pound jump. I don't care who you are, 60-pound jump is a big jump. There is a certain percentage that you should be jumping. And of course, if you're brand new, that might look a little different, but for the most part, a 60-pound jump is more than like a 10% jump for this person. So just know that if you have it planned out already, you'll be good to go and you'll need those when you weigh in. Now, this one probably should have been number one, but I don't know how long this will be. I'm assuming that this number five, not filling out your COVID waiver, is going to be an important one probably for the next couple years. And if you're listening to this and there's no COVID, which hallelujah, if that's the case, then just get past this. But, you know, I would say that probably every federation is going to have some sort of COVID waiver, meaning that you're just going to waive, you know, that you're cool with competing and the possibility of COVID being there. That COVID waiver just needs to be filled out before. That should be sent to you by your meet director in the opening email. If your meet director doesn't send you that, just know that you'll probably have to do it. And that you could do that day of. You can either print it out or you can digitally You can digitally submit it, and it should show up, and you just need a receipt to show that it was taken back in. And just so the meat director has it, but you will need that. Number six. Is that six? I don't even know if this is number six. Anyways, the next one on the mistakes I see done at weigh-ins is not wearing your shoes that you're going to compete with when you check your rack heights. So rack heights are, I'm just telling everybody, like, you ain't never heard this before, but rack heights are how high you need the rack. So like if you're training at the gym, you sort of set things up at a certain level, right? Where you want the bar. When you're benching, it's at a certain level. Sometimes you can't help it. The gym only has two levels, right? You either are benching from the really short spot or the really high spot. For me, I'm always in the middle. I freaking hate it, but it is what it is. When you compete at a meet, they're going to allow you to choose where you want that. So that's totally awesome, because you probably don't always have that luxury, especially at a Globo gym. One thing I see people do is they don't wear the shoes they're going to compete with. So whether that is lifters on your squat or maybe even lifters when you're benching, that makes a difference when you're setting up your rack heights, because you're going to be a little bit shorter. Also, and this is just a side note, but you just got to remember that you're going to have weight on that. So that is going to actually weigh it down a little bit. So I would err on the side that it's going to be pushed down into your body a little bit. For me, a good rule of thumb of where I place the bar is usually at collar height, even a little bit lower, because I'd rather I get under it a tiny bit more and just stand up with it versus me having to use my little feet and do like a little calf extension to get off or shrug it off. Totally not good for your lift. So just know where the shoes that you're going to be competing with when you're checking for your rack heights, for your squat and your bench, because it will make a difference. Number seven. This one's a new one. And this is something that I actually just noticed this past year, but not telling the head judge that you like to put your butt down after you unrack. Now, what does that mean? Maybe you are somebody who either has to unrack it for themselves for the most part, or you have just a way of setting up where you like to unrack it and you're sort of hanging, your butt still hanging in the air, or your butt's in the air and you're still adjusting your feet, but you've already unracked it. Okay. Now, if this is you and you set your butt down right after, or you steady your feet after you've unracked it already, you need to tell the head judge that you're going to do this. And this is why. From the head judge's point of view, they're going to be by your head, right? So they can't see your butt and your feet as well. So as a head judge, when I'm watching, I look for the unrack and I look for the bar to be steady before I say start. If you have moved your butt or your feet after I say start, technically it's a red light. Now, I would say that most people would probably, or most judges will be like, hey, you can't do that after. Technically, they're supposed to give you a red light for that. But if they see that, it's this weird timing thing that I've seen going on this last couple years, that sort of setup has been more popular, I guess. And it's a cool setup. There ain't nothing wrong with the setup, but just know that it's your responsibility as a lifter to let them know, like, hey, I like to place my butt down after I unrack it. So if it's okay, just know that I'm going to be putting my feet down. Putting my butt down, or I'm going to be readjusting my feet after I unrack it. So I won't be ready just yet. And that's perfect. That's wonderful. Like for me as a head judge, if I hear that, I'm like, wonderful. So then I know I'm going to be looking on the side for his butt or his feet to be totally stable before I say start. Okay. So if that's you and you like to do that, totally fine. Just let them know right before. Don't let them know when you weigh in, because they ain't going to remember that. You want right before you go to lift, just say, hey, just want to let you know that I'm going to put my butt down after, whatever it is. Okay. However you want to tell them, just let them know, because to me, it's your responsibility for you to do that, because you could be setting yourself up to actually get a red light, because you, once they say start, you're not supposed to move your feet and your butt. But unfortunately, we can't always see the butt from that angle. So it's definitely something that I've just noticed, and I want to tell lifters because it happens. And that is it. That is my top mistakes I see done at weigh-ins. And again, if this is with another federation, just look into it. But I tell you right now, I have seen this done at almost every federation. I've seen a lot of weigh-ins, not that I was a judge at them. But you know, for the most part, we're going to see something very, very similar. So if you have any questions on your weigh-in, this is your first time competing, give me a shout out. Okay. Message me on Instagram. I might take a little while. I've been not like instant on Instagram, but I would love to hear your experiences getting ready for your first meet. And if you checked in, if this helped you, like if you felt more prepared for your weigh-ins and you felt like, all right, this is something I didn't even think about, let me know. I'd love to hear that. And if there's anything I'm missing, I would love to hear what you say on it. Okay.